You know, it is so important in fellowship. I can only share with you the importance of fellowship. Amen? Because without fellowship, you get moved out of fellowship. Does everybody understand that? Fellowship maintains fellowship. Does everybody understand that? Fellowship maintains fellowship. Without being in fellowship, you get moved out of fellowship. And that's one of the things the enemy wants to do. And I'm only going to share this again and again and again. There is a flood coming, and there is a small flood that's been here. It comes and goes. Waves will be getting bigger, bigger, and bigger. And those who are not plugged in, tied in, set to the rock, are going to get moved. Does everybody understand that? Amen. I'm telling you, it's a place where you got to die. Last Tuesday night when we did intercessory prayer, believe me, I felt like garbage. I did not want to do intercessory prayer. I said, "Oh Lord, you're killing me." And we were supposed to go to do a TV thing on a program, my wife and myself, and both of us, and you know, things just kept getting worse with this bug, this flu we were trying to fight off. And by the time we were supposed to go, we did Friday night service. My wife left Friday night because she was so sick. And came home. And about it, Friday, of course, the anointing came on, and I didn't give a hoot then. And but after the anointing lifted, believe me, I was dying. And I woke up the next morning, and I said to my wife, I said, "Listen, I believe it was Tuesday night when I heard the Lord say to me, 'You're going to have to ride the storm out.' And I just put it aside. Okay. So, Saturday morning after my prayer, I told my wife, I said, "Hun, we're canceling." And I told her Friday night too when I got home. I said, I don't think we're supposed to go. So anyways, we both got worse. Hallelujah. And we just rode the storm out. And thank God we have a big family to help us. And then Monday morning came when we were supposed to be in Tampa, and my wife wasn't any better. I was a little bit better, and then I thank God that He opened the door, and so I went. And but my wife will be back on there to talk about New Age and so forth. It was a sweet, sweet couple that does deliverance ministry, and we've tied in together. And it's Paul and Clara. And the wonderful people who we connected with, and they've got a TV show going on. But what I'm sharing with you all about this is because I'm telling you about a storm. I'm telling you about floods of the enemy coming. Not only are they coming in sickness, they're coming in all kinds of things. And I'm telling you that you're going to have to, there's times when you have to ride it out. God will tell you to fight it sometimes. Sometimes He'll tell you to ride it, but never get caught in it. Because if you get caught in the storm, you become a casualty. Does everybody understand that? You'll get hurt. But if you ride the storm out, two things that happen. If you ride the storm out, God will position you. Because the storm will take you where you're supposed to be. If you get caught in the storm, you'll get repositioned in another place. Hello? Back into the world. Back into the garbage, whatever it is. So if you ride the storm out, you'll get positioned. If you get caught in a storm, you'll get positioned. But it won't be where God's will is. Does everybody understand this? And I'm sharing this with you because of the flood of the enemy. And God is bringing us to other levels of warfare. And if a church is not warfaring right now, there's something wrong with that church. I'm telling you right now. If a church is not warfaring right now, but not teaching warfare and expressing the warfare and the demonic activity, there is something wrong with that church. Because then they're not protecting their people and training their people up in what to do. Because I'm telling you, as God is my witness, a flood is coming. I'm telling you, a flood is coming, and it's around the corner. I don't know what, how, where, when, whatever. I'm just telling you, it's coming. And you got to be ready. Does everybody understand that? I want to take you to a scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, 2, and 3. We'll read these three verses. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now we'll go to verse 4. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. I want to explain to you, I had an experience last night. Now, last night I slept by myself in another part of the house because my wife was still struggling with her bug and whatever. And my daughter stayed home today, and so I stayed away. Hallelujah. And so I was sleeping in a back room downstairs, and I woke up about 2 o'clock. Well, actually, yeah, I woke up about 2 o'clock, but prior to waking up, I was in a dream, but you know when things are real in a dream. And I was being attacked by demonic forces in a powerful way. I mean, powerful way. And one of the things I started to do, I didn't know if something got on me, something got in me. I don't know what happened. But I know this, that did you ever try to take off wet clothes? Does anybody know what a wetsuit is? You ever try to take off a wetsuit? You know, it's thick wetsuit, and you're trying to tear it off your body? Well, I found myself trying to tear off my flesh. I wanted my flesh to be gone. And I was shaken, and I was fighting, and the powers of darkness were there fighting. And they were trying to keep my flesh on while they were trying to fight me and beat me up. And I was moving and fighting intently to where my flesh, I was trying to get my flesh off. I could actually begin to feel my flesh begin to come off in a certain degree. And I kept going harder and harder and harder till my flesh came off and it floated right in front of me. And it was almost like touching the fingertips of my flesh, which had, that's all you saw was a body of skin. No hair, no nothing, no, just a form floating in the air. And almost like my fingertips were still touching the fingertips of my flesh. But then all of a sudden I realized that I had no flesh. And it was wonderful. And I can only say naked from flesh. And these demons that were over here were still probing at me and trying to get at me. They saw that my flesh had just come off. And they were trying to get my flesh back on. And I found myself screaming and fighting. And I woke up. And all of a sudden, fear filled my room. Gripping fear, intense fear, where it almost paralyzed you. And I began to apply the blood and bind and do everything I had to do and command them to leave. And about 2 minutes later, peace came in our room and I went back to sleep. And there's two areas that I really believe is happening, because the Bible talks about a transfiguration coming. Hello? You know, we are in a feast of trumpets, aren't we? That's the rapture of the church. That's when you are transfigured, where your flesh is no more. And in the other area is the area of that, how much the demonic activity enjoys your flesh. Hello? Man, they want your flesh. Not that they want your flesh, they want to use your flesh on you. And I'm telling you, there was so much freedom when my flesh came off. And it was just floating in front of me. I thought, whoa. And I could still see those demons over here coming at me. But it was like they were just held back for a minute when I could see my flesh floating right in front of my eyes. And the room was dark and everything. I could just always see it was an image of a body floating. And I was fleshless. You know, that's how I was with spirit right here. And I was like, wow. And I knew, in other words, I was almost transparent, and there was nothing there, but the demons still knew I was there, and they were still trying to get me, and we began to fight again. And then I, like I said, I woke up. And I realized also the area of What's going on? What's happening? Do you realize that God is unfolding mysteries and strategies to attack the powers of darkness? Does everybody get that? Let me tell you something. They are not going to sit back and let you go forward. They're going to fight against you. And I know if that fight was against me, I know it comes against everybody else. My wife told me she woke up at 1:30 in the morning. And she said that she couldn't sleep, so she turned on the Christian station, and there was a man of God that I know, and I know him personally too, who's a very well-known prophet. And he began to, he said something very important. He told, my wife just caught the glimpse of this. And I know she only caught the glimpse of this and came in and told me this morning. And the glimpse of it was this. It was, he said that there was something he wanted to tell people about what was getting ready to come, but he didn't tell them because he was concerned that the immature Christians would become fearful. And that was the message I got this morning. That was all my wife caught, and I knew that that was confirmation for me of what was going on. You know, God always gives you confirmation of things, that what you're preaching, what you're sensing in the Spirit, and so forth. Does everybody understand that? So, in this, I can only share with you, I'd like to beg you, I'd like to kick some of you, the importance of warfare. And I'm telling you something right now. There are many people playing Christianity. You can't fake it. You fake it, you're going to get it. Does everybody get it? And there are many people who are not praying. There are many people who are not doing their warfare. And you lie and say you are. Somebody asks you, man, you warfaring? Yeah, man, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. No, you're not. Because if you were, you wouldn't be the way you are. Do you all understand that? Listen, if you're not in the battle, you guarantee will be a casualty. And for much is given, much is required. What God gives us in this place is a lot. And to Him be all the glory. But these are strategies to be utilized against the kingdom of darkness, not to puff you up. Does everybody get it? You've got to begin to utilize what God has given you. You know, too many people are going by what they still want and how they feel. I'm telling you, in jobs, in places, in relationships, in things, they're still doing what they want to do. They've become intellect and not led. And I share with you before, there's three types of churches right now. Jesus talked about three types. He said there's the dead church, there's the lukewarm, and there's the hot. And there is the intellect church, the spirit-filled church, and the spirit-led. And it's the spirit-led one that's going to bring victory. Does everybody understand that? You must be led by the Spirit. Those are the sons of God, aren't they? It didn't say the ones that were filled were the sons of God. It said the ones that were led are the sons of God. And I'm seeing more and more people get so caught up in intellect and in the prosperity. Listen, I got nothing against prosperity, but in the prosperity movement, in the self-exaltation that I am somebody. I am telling you, it is moving people out of the will and position that God has established. And you're going to see some things begin to happen in churches. And relationships and so forth that are underneath that covering. It's going to happen. But God is calling us to another level of warfare. He's calling us to another level. Another level of death. Another level. Levels that you've never reached before. Another level of revelation. Paul always talked about how the mysteries were revealed to him. Listen, it wasn't just revealed to Paul. He's still revealing mysteries. Mysteries are things that are unknown. And God is bringing forth strategies that are unknown. areas and strategies. Why? Because we must be able to move with the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit moves, hello, according to the time and season. Amen? He knows what the enemy's getting ready to do. And if you're not going to be led by the Spirit, you're going to be caught up in the flood. People are getting moved out of position too easy. And the reason for this is because they're really not warfaring. They are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Let me tell you, I know I've seen so many people reject, quit, falter from jobs, falter from relationships, not supposed to be doing what they're because of how they feel. Well, this is what I believe. Well, let me tell you something. If you believe something that's not of God, you're in trouble. Even though you believe it's of God. You cannot make your decisions by what you believe or what you feel. You must make your decisions by what the Spirit is leading you to do. And you better make sure it's the Spirit leading you and not your soul or your flesh. Does everybody understand this? There are people who are being taken out of the churches, out of the fellowship, I must say. Because the churches isn't, it's not about a church. It's about the fellowship. Because they're busy trying to maintain and keep what God has blessed them with. Oh, hallelujah. They're so busy trying to maintain what God blessed them with that they're missing God. Now, let me, I'm sure I had no intentions of speaking about this before the teaching today, but I guess the Spirit is bringing us to a place. And you never chase the blessing, and you don't have to protect the blessing. You have relationship with the blesser, and everything is protected. Does everybody understand? Oh, hallelujah. All right, let's go somewhere. So God is bringing us to another level, isn't He? No, more strategies. And we've talked some things about this already, and I must re-emphasize tonight, and I want to talk about territorial principalities or territorial spirits. And it's important, because if you don't begin to take them out, they're going to take you out. Go to Psalm 25, please. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Psalm 25. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hot in here. Is everybody hot? Cool. Lift your hands and get a drink then. Well, he said, don't be lukewarm, right? He said, be hot. Fill them, Dad. Give them the revelation and impartation in the name of Jesus. And Psalm 25 and verse 12, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Yeah. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Oh, man, I'm telling you what, that's one of the things that people lose sight of. Who is the man that fears the Lord? That's called reverence to God. Amen? It's amazing in how many people who call themselves believers still cannot reverence God yet. They reverence self and everything else but God. But who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. Who's going to teach you? The Lord. That's why you got a mentor. He's called the Holy Ghost. He's going to teach you. But the first thing he imparts in you is the reverence and fear of God. When you fall away from that, you're on your own. Does everybody understand that? Because that reverence and fear of God keeps you in a humble state. And God will not teach anyone prideful. He teaches the humble. Thank you, Master. Now, let's go on. In verse 13, he himself shall dwell in what? Prosperity. And it's not about how much money you have in the bank or how many homes you have or how much material you have. Let me tell you, there isn't anything greater than prosperity in the Spirit. That's the ticket. And he himself shall dwell in prosperity, and the descendants shall inherit the what? Earth. There's an area where there's inheritance of land. Does everybody get it? Oh. Let's go to 14. It says the what? The secret of the Lord of those who fear him or reverence him. Those are mysteries. And he will show them his what? His covenant, his promises. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Does everybody see this now? In other words, you will dwell in prosperity and your descendants will inherit what? Land. Does everybody get it? You will see, it's a place of position, isn't it? Inheriting something is a place of position. Does everybody understand this? God wants us to be positioned to become kings of territories. Amen? Spiritual territories. Now go to Psalm 37. Oh, hallelujah. And verses 3 through 5. So you see that there's inheritance of land. In other words, you're inheriting a territory. In verse 3 it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Hello? Dwell in that territory. And feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Not your flesh. And not your feelings. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down on the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright in conduct. See, you are going to be attacked. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Hello? In other words, you're going to fall into them, aren't you? Go to verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will what? He's going to bring it to pass. Not you. Him. Now go to verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who what? Wait on the Lord, they shall what? Inherit the land or be given territory. Go to verse 27. It says, depart from evil and do good and dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be what? Cut off. The righteous shall what? Inherit the land and dwell in it forever. I want you to understand that when you become a believer, as God begins to train you up, one of the things he does is he gives you territory. You are granted territory. It's an inheritance. Is everybody with me? Listen. God is bringing the body to new levels of warfare. Why? To drive out the enemy from these territories. Does everybody understand this? Go to Acts 17. Hallelujah. People are making bad choices because they're not driving out the enemy. In Acts 17, and verse 26. Would you read it with me? 26 to 28. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to what? Dwell on the face of the earth. And has what? Determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and to find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So again, these are appointed territories and boundaries God has given you. Do you understand that? Once you become a believer of Jesus, He has given you boundaries and territories already. Number 34. Don't yell bingo. This ain't no bingo place. Blows my mind. Yes, we're having a fundraiser. We're going to have bingo this weekend. No, you're going to have dingo. You're going to get a lot of demon possession after that, let me tell you. It's amazing. Some of these places are, yes, we're having casino night to raise money. Wonderful. 34 verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan to its boundary. So he was, do you understand that? In God's will, He's always given you territories, no matter what. When you become a believer of Jesus, you get territories. Go to Micah 2. You know, you can go into, it's amazing that, you know, we're coming into where people celebrate that demonic day, Halloween, you know. And it's amazing to me how many believers still go out and trick or treat. They don't know that they're the treat and tricked. You know? And they bring a curse on themselves and their family and their children. And they dress the kids up. Oh, it's only a sweet day. No, it's a demonic day. And what you are is you're coming in agreement with what they're saying. You go in some of these churches, they got goblins and ghosts in the hallways. You know why? They have no conception or understanding of warfare. They have no conception of the demonic hold that they're putting on their people. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They have no idea. Listen, they may skim through life and get home safely, but they will never be able to combat the kingdom of darkness and take territory. They'll always give territory. Do you understand that? See, that's what was so important. If you read about the Old Testament, God was always sending out His armies to take territory. And when He kept removing kings, because even when they take territory, they would stop driving out their enemies. They would become friends with them. Then they would intermarry with them. Then they would produce offsprings of pagans. Does everybody understand that? Yeah, we're in a season of exposure. Hallelujah. Take us, you know, just take, go drive around one day and go into all of these fellowships and see all the poop. It's ridiculous. It's garbage. It's demonic. And they are deceived. Totally deceived. Hey, Paul called it all as dung, didn't he? So don't get religious at me now. There you are. Micah 2. Is everybody there? Praise God. Verse 5. Would you read it with me? Therefore, you will have no one to determine boundaries by lot. That's like throwing dice. Hello? In the assembly of the Lord. In other words, territories and boundaries are not set by chance. They are set by God to put you in a place of authority. Does everybody understand it? Over a territory. It doesn't matter how big or how small that territory is. You have been predestined and chosen for a specific territory. And as you're faithful with the territory and you drive out the powers of darkness, God gives you more. Does everybody understand that? Is everybody all right? Good. Now let's go to Daniel 10. Daniel 10:10. And suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words are heard. So you want words heard? That's what you got to do. And I have come because of your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. He was a principality. And we're going to talk more about this. He was a demonic principality that withstood the angel of the Lord carrying the message from God to Daniel. Do you understand this? Good. Principalities are princes over territories. Does everybody understand? They are rulers over territories. They can be rulers over nations, cities, towns. They are strategically positioned. Amen? Okay, so we see that the angel of the Lord came to Daniel and he said, listen, man, I would have been here earlier, but I got entangled with the prince of Persia. Now listen, watch this. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. That angel fought 21 days. According to me and you. But for him, it was probably 5 minutes. And behold, Michael, that's Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Territorial spirits. Now, territorial spirits are angels of Satan. Is everybody with me? There are what we call fallen angels, and fallen angels are the angels that put on flesh and went in to have sex with the women in the book of Genesis, and I think it's chapter 5 or 6. Does everybody understand that? Did anybody ever read that before? Good. If you didn't, go there. Should we go there now? Okay, let's go there. Hallelujah. These are angels. There was about 200 of them that put on flesh and came into the world. You got to understand that Satan knew, because God told him that a seed would come that would bruise his head, crush his head, and bruise the heel. Amen? So from that point on, Satan wanted to start his own. He wanted to prevent any seeds from coming in as much as he could, because he knew one day that seed was going to come and kick his butt. He thought. Hallelujah. And Genesis chapter 6. Is everybody there? Now it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, verse 1, and the daughters were born to men, that the sons of God, the word sons of God here means angels. Does everybody understand that? If you go to the book of Job, which we're not going to, you'll find out that the sons of God came before the throne room of God. Amen? They came before the Lord. And even Satan himself came, because he was considered still a son of God, because he was an angel, do you understand? Even though he was a fallen one. Now, it says here that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. Now, angels have glorified bodies. Do you understand that? They are angels. They are not Cupids. All right, they're not animals and little kids and women with breasts. Does everybody understand that those are not angels? If you ever stood before an angel before, or you saw an angel, let me tell you, they're not little, they be big. And the ones that come out from the presence of the throne room of God will rip you apart because you can't stand. Just their presence. That's what happened to Daniel. Remember, he stood what? Trembling. Amen? He stood what? Trembling. Praise God. Okay. Now, and it says here, now they took wives from themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be numbered 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. I want to share with you, these are where some of the myths came about Zeus and all this other stuff. Because the offspring, some of these offsprings were huge. Some of them were giants. And these were offsprings because the angels of Satan put on flesh and came into the world and had sex with the women of flesh. And they produced offsprings. Does everybody understand that? Okay. I'm not going to get into this whole teaching here. I just want you to understand that. And in the book of Jude, it talks about those who've left their abode. In other words, their domain. Who are being... Now, they, all of those angels right now are chained in Hades waiting for judgment. Why? Because they put on flesh. See, Satan's going to put on flesh one day. That's why the book of Revelation says he'll be chained for 1,000 years. Why? Because he put on flesh. Does everybody get it? Okay. These are what we call fallen angels. But there are still what we call fallen angels because these were angels that also left the will of God and served under Satan. Now, there were three major angels, archangels. I want you to understand that Lucifer was God's right-hand man. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe. Then you have Archangel Michael and then Gabriel. So you have three major angels that held, that were, all the angels that God created were under their authority. Amen? Good. We're getting somewhere. Now go to Revelation somewhere. Revelation. Go to, hallelujah. Revelation 12. We're going to get this down. I want to show you that these angels, these principalities are actually angels of Satan. All right? Revelation 12. Glory to God. In verse 1. Let's read the first four verses. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head were a garland of 12 stars, and I'm not going to get into all the interpretations of this. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. And his tail drew a what? Third of the stars. In other words, a third of the angels. And what angel was this? Lucifer. Of the heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. I'll go to verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael, the archangel, and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Hello. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Now, there's going to be a time when all of the principalities are going to become into the natural realm. All right? They're going to come into the natural realm. But right now, Lucifer, who is now Satan, is engulfed and encaged. His throne room is in the earth, and he don't leave the atmosphere. Everybody got it? His heavenly powers of darkness, his principalities are right in the atmosphere here. They're over nations and cities and towns and so forth. Are you with me? Okay. So you see that these angels, all right, that are under the authority of Satan, they are territorial spirits. They are Satan's angels. And there are demons under Satan's angels. Do you understand that? Okay. Now I want to share with you something very important, right after Ephesians 6. Right after this brief message. Glory to God. Today, if you'll buy this tape, you'll get a double portion of this, and if you get this, you get... But today's special offer is deliverance. With a double bonus of exposing your enemy. Praise God. Ephesians 6 and verse, let's see here. And we'll go to 12. Let's get right to it. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Cool. Now, principalities. A principality is actually a cluster. Does everybody understand it? It's more than one. A prince, in other words, the prince, Satan's angel, who is known as a prince. And I want you to know that there's also queens, and I'm not going in there today. But there is a prince who's Satan's angel, who is in charge of all the demonic activity in that area. So you call it principalities, because principalities means cluster or big. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now look it. There are three areas of attack. There's three levels of attack. The first one, and how they are done in order. Okay. The first high ruler is a principality, right? We just talked about that. The second one is the occult level. I'm talking from top to ground level. There's the occult level, the witchcraft, the spells, the delusions. Does everybody understand that? So you have principalities, all right, that are ruling over territories. Does everybody got it? And what they're doing is they're affecting people's minds. They interfere with dreams. This is the occult. This is where the occult comes into effect and begins to put spells on people. Is everybody with me? Listen, I don't want to lose anyone. I want you to get this. That's where they send fiery darts and so forth. These are the occult witchcraft level. All right? And then there is the ground level. And that's where the demons and strong men are. Does everybody understand that? A strong man is one that's under authority over demons. Did you ever notice that when an individual, the first thing that happens before an individual gets taken by a demon, or a demon gets in a person, there's always mind things happening first. There's wooings, there's fiery darts. Those are all spells. These are all curses that the powers of darkness are throwing at you. See, if you come in agreement with it, do you understand? Then the demon has a legal right to access you. That's why Jesus said sin is because you lust. You sin in your mind. See, when you come in agreement with that sin, now the word sin means presence of evil. Come on. Sin was in the garden. Why? Because the presence of evil was in the garden. The transgression is the act of agreeing with the sin. And then that brings an ancestral curse on your family line called an iniquity. Come on, are you getting this? I hope you're all writing this down. I'm going to test you after service. Okay, so we see here now that the prince of the palaties, hello, of all the area, he's ruling over and he's telling people what to do because he's getting his orders from the council of Satan. Let me tell you, Satan wants to duplicate everything God has. So that's why he's got a throne. God has 12 elders. Satan has 12, or 20, say, the Lord has 24 elders at his throne room, right? Satan has 24 boneheads. I mean, but you know, he's trying to duplicate everything. So we see the prince is sending out, directing what's going on. They begin to first attack with the witchcraft, the stuff in the dreams, fiery darts, so forth, begin to hit you. Mind-binding spirits also associated with that level. So we got the prince, then we've got the area between the prince and the ground, and that's the area of witchcraft and sorcery and spells and hexes and vexes. Does everybody understand that? And they begin to affect people, and they begin to affect their thoughts, and if they come into agreement, then that demon has a legal right to say, okay. Does everybody understand that? And that's where we begin to fight the demonic forces, demons, and strong men. That's a high-ranking demon. Do you all understand how this is operating? Okay? Did you ever notice that when an individual, now check this out, an individual touches and agrees with the thought, the seed, right? And when they touch and agree with it, because they come in covenant now, then the demon has a legal right to access that person. That person goes out and does something, uses, goes out and steals, does whatever. You know what that demon does? Brings that person under the prince. That's why there's certain locations of pornography, more drug addiction. That's why there's spots. Why? Because there's a prince over that place. Does everybody understand that? See, what the demon does then is enter you and convinces you to run from under the true prince, the prince of peace. He gets you to move from underneath the prince of peace and brings you under the principality of demonic activity, of fornication, drugs, abuse, prostitution, whatever it is. He brings you under there. And then sometimes he brings you from one place to another, and he'll keep using you because why? They're getting fed by your emotions. See, they're getting fed now. And then when they use you up to where you're so drained out, used up, and you're no good anymore, they either try to kill you or you cry out for help. Because you can't get high no more. You have nowhere to go. You're destitute. You've lost everything. And this is where the devil tries to get you to kill yourself because he's done with you. Does everybody understand that? And then what happens is you cry out to God and God comes and rescues you and tries to bring you back under the prince again. The prince of peace. Does everybody understand that? But not many people have made it back. Many are in hell. Many of them have died. Amen? Many of them are in jail. Then why has God allowed you to come in here tonight and hear this message? Why you? Why you? Why you? Why you? Why you? Why you? Why are you in this room tonight hearing this message? Is it a coincidence? No. It's because the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Glory wants you to get understanding and get prepared. Because it's truth that sets people free. Not assumption, not intellect. It's truth. Amen? All praise God. Now, one of the things God wants us to start doing is driving out enemies from territories. You understand that? Amen? Okay. We're going to go back into this here, but there's a couple places I want to go to. I want to show you a couple of things. Go to Ephesians 2. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2. It's just for you. And me too. Ephesians chapter 2. Are y'all there? Okie dokie. Start at verse 1. Read it with me. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Let me explain to you about the prince of power of air. He is the spirit of death. Did you ever bite an apple? It certainly doesn't grow. It begins to turn brown. He is the spirit of death and associated with the spirit of Antichrist. Do you understand that? Okay, we'll talk more about this here. Oh, glory. In verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, which as the others. Why? Because sin always leads to death, doesn't it? The wages of sin is death. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now, we're going to do a teaching on grace. Because grace isn't just some wahoo, thank you, Lord, I'm saved. Grace is the plan of escape. And if you're not in it, you won't escape. And raised us up together and made us sit together in where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, you are already sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So that's why you have the authority to attack the principalities. Oh, yeah. That in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The power of the is the principality of death. Look at, isn't age, you know, it's a count of time where people are dying. As soon as you were born, you're already headed to death, weren't you? Amen? And this is where God says, my people perish, right? That's headed to death. But see, we sit in heavenly places to be able to combat against the occults, the principalities, and the powers of darkness. Do you understand that? Oh, glory. But see, if you don't know how to fight, hello? If you don't know what accursed items are, if you don't know that you're supposed not supposed to associate with demonic holidays, if you don't know you're not supposed to hear rap and bebop demonic music that promotes death and gangsterism, if you don't understand, let me tell you something about Christian music. Not all of it is Christian. Because there's a beat behind those lyrics that will move you out of God's presence and open the door to demonic activity. You'd be bebopping in the wrong way, let me tell you. That's why it's called contemporary music, because you become temporary. This is where false religions and occults are brought forth. That's why we got to attack them. Prince of power of air. Ooh. Known as the Antichrist. Ezekiel 28. Would you turn there, please? Well, we start at verse 2. Yeah, we start at verse 1. It doesn't matter. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God. Does everybody see here? Are you there? Because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a god, and I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god. Though you set your heart as the heart of a god, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasures. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as a heart of a god, behold, therefore I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the what? Pit. Who do you think they're talking about? Amen. And you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Now, I want you to understand something. In certain principalities, you've got religious princes. This one here is economic princes. This is where the one prince that comes and tries to put people under greed and selfishness. Does everybody understand that? Love of money. Does everybody get that? Okay. Did you ever notice that certain places flock together where there's all kinds of prosperity in the wrong way? There are places where people are still stealing from people and all kinds. They're lying and they're saying, oh, God bless me. Yeah, you just lied about that deal. Oh, God bless me. Yeah, God bless me with this. Yeah, you just conned that individual. You manipulated to get what you wanted. Do you understand that? That's how that spirit works. That wasn't a blessing from the Lord. That was a blessing from the devil. And what that blessing is now is a curse, and the devil has access to you. The Prince of Tyre was a representation of economic. And the Antichrist spirit is associated with occult religions. Somebody get it? 2 Corinthians 4. Oh, hallelujah. You got to understand, when you come in agreement with the presence of evil, the devil has a legal access to you to cause you to transgress. then he takes you and brings you under the prince. Hello? Come on, everybody in here has experienced that one way or another. And next thing you know, he puts you, if you're a gossiper, you'll hang around with gossipers. Why? Because there's a prince. If you're rebellious, you'll hang around with people that are rebellious. Why? Because there's a prince behind it. And he's utilizing witchcraft, and that spirit is already there. See, because the Bible says when two touch and agree, he's in the presence. It's the same thing for the things of God and the things of the devil. If you're agreeing with someone, the devil has a legal right to be there and to access you. So your grumbling and complaining is because you are now being taken under a prince who's going to eventually wipe you out when he sees fit that he can use you to affect more people. See, he doesn't do it instantly. He waits down the road till everything's all restored. Yes, until your finances are good. You're restored to families. Things are happening. And people are going, oh, look at how good he's been doing. Oh, praise God. And all of a sudden, wham! And you lose your family again. And you lose this. And you lose that. And you lose your job. And you lose everything else. And you're back underneath that prince again. And wonder how you got there. Because you agreed with the voice of the stranger. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You tell the territory prince by the fruit of the territory. Come on, I'm going to say that again. You'll tell the territorial prince by the fruit of the territory. In verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are what? Perishing or what? Dying. Whose minds the God of this age has what? Oh, have what? Blinded. Who do not what? Believe. Who don't what? Believe. What's the word believe mean? Who don't follow. Because believe means the what? Follow. No, I just do my own thing. Oh, I believe. Yeah, I believe I'm saved. Yes, God blessed me. I believe, but I'm going to do my own thing. You're a liar, deceived, and under the wrong prince. And it's just a matter of time where you are exposed and taken out. Because the storm will come. And you'll either ride the storm or get caught in it. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Hello? Oh, again. The God of this age. Let me share with you the God of this age. He's associated with pride. He's called a self-governing. The God of this age is self-governing. We just talked about religion, economic, and government. He is self-governing. In other words, I'm going to govern myself and not come under the authority of the true governor. I'm going to do what I want, how I want, and when I want. I'm under no authority. And of course, if you're not under authority, you don't have any, and the enemy knows it. See, the devil see the anointing. Remember, the Father acknowledges the blood. The demons acknowledge the anointing. They know whether you're, let me tell you, that anointing lift from you, and you still think you're doing cool, and you're being beat up, and all kinds of things are being stolen from you. Hello? And you're wondering why things are happening. It's because the anointing is lifted. See, there's the anointing within and the anointing that comes on. And when those two touch and agree, manifestation comes. Victory comes. Dominion comes. Authority comes. But if the anointing that's within you is not in agreement with the anointing that comes on you, the demons see that. And they know. Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 10. Well, I just don't feel like praying this morning. Well, that's okay. You're tired. You know, you've had a tough night. Yeah, and you got up late anyways, and you're late for work because you weren't disciplined. You have other priorities. They're not in order. The devil knows his first thing to do is mix up your priorities so that self becomes first. If he can fix you to where self becomes first, he's got you out of order. Do you understand? When you're out of order, you're coming in agreement with the presence of evil, which is sin. Now he has a legal right. And it's just a matter of time where you transgress and he brings you back under the prince. And John 10, 10, 10, 10, and 10. Glory. Is everybody there? The thief does not come to except to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hello. He is not there to promote you. He is not there to comfort you. And he's not there to bless you. Everything he offers you is deceptive, self-promoting to fulfill your feelings in your soulish realm. But the end result is always death and destruction. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What's he stealing? He's stealing the seed of God, the promises of God in your life. What's he killing? He's killing the people of God. And what's he destroying? The work of God that you've put in. Do you understand that? But Jesus said, I come to bring life and life more abundantly. Now he's talking about prosperity in the spirit. Now I want you to understand something. There are physical territories, but physical territories are never taken until spiritual territories are taken first. Mark 16:17. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Isn't it amazing? That's the first thing he tells you. Hello? Casting out demons. Let me tell you, you're to cast out demons. Why? Because the first territory you must take is yourself. I'm going to tell you all the territories you're going to take. The first territory you must take is you. That's number one. The first territory is who? Me. Glory to God. The second territory you're to take is your family. Your wife and your children. The third territory you're to take is the souls you're praying for. Does everybody get it? The first one is you. The second one is your family, your wife, your children. The third one is the souls you're praying for. You ready? Can we go on? The fourth one is the seeds that you sowed. I'm talking about financial seeds. And then the fifth one is the righteous seeds of truth that you sowed, like for salvation and stuff that you've planted in people. The first one is you. The second one is your family, your wife and your children, and your husbands and so forth. The third one is the souls you're praying for. The fourth one is the financial seeds that you've sown. The fifth one is the righteous seeds you've sown. The sixth one is your inheritance and your harvest. These are areas the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Your inheritance and your harvest. The seventh one, there's three of them. Your destiny, your vision, and your calling. There's three in one. Your destiny, your vision, and your calling. That's seven. Everybody ready? Number eight is your possessions, your health, and your finances. Your possessions, your health, and your finances is number eight. Everybody all right? Got them? Number nine is your jobs. Your jobs and locations. Has everybody got this? And the positions of city government city officials. What do you do? Take those territories. Why? So that the righteous can inherit them. Territories must be first taken. Do you understand that? The Bible says that the heavens are taken by force. Number 10. Your neighbors and your neighborhoods. Your neighbors and your neighborhoods. And I want to add one more also on that. Your neighbors and the neighborhoods of your church members, your church family. So rewrite that. Your neighbors and the neighborhoods of your church family. In other words, you should be assisting everyone that's a member of your family, your fellowship. You should be lifting up to God. Lord, I lift up everyone associated with this fellowship of True Ministries. Hello? And their neighborhood, and I take those territories with them. Okay? The 11th one. Your children's schools. And the offices of the schools, like teachers. And their territories. Why? Because you don't want garbage teachers teaching your children. You should be taking those territories. So everybody got it? And of course, in the territory of wherever you set your feet that day, and everyone that you're praying for, wherever they set their feet that day, you're taking that territory. You understand? Cool. That's 12. Oh, glory. Matthew 16. That was 12. You want me to repeat them? The first one is you take the territory of yourself. The second one is your family, your wives and children and so forth, husbands. The souls you're praying for is the third one. The financial seeds that you sowed is the fourth one. The fifth one is the righteous seeds you sowed. The sixth one is the inheritance and your harvest. The seventh one is your destiny, vision, and calling. The eighth one is your possessions, your health, and your finances. The ninth one is your jobs and job places and the positions of city officials or government city officials. Does everybody understand that? The tenth one is your neighbors and the neighbors of your church members. The 11th one is your children's schools and the offices of the schools like teachers and so forth. You take those territories. And of course, there's the 12th one, wherever you set your feet and those you're praying for that day. Matthew 16 and verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Say that again. I will give you the keys of the... My goodness, do you understand the importance of that? He said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It's amazing in how many people are just letting those keys just sit on the shelf. Yeah, I'm praying, oh Lord, please meet my need today. Oh Lord, thank you for another day. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, you know what I need. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, have mercy upon us. No warfare, all soulish garbage. Oh Lord, please restore my family. Oh Lord, please give me this. Oh, Lord, please send someone to fix my flat tire. Oh, die in warfare. Seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. What's one of the areas of seeking the kingdom of God? Using the keys he's given you. And this blows my mind. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We have the keys of the kingdom of heaven and don't even use them. And they sit on the shelf getting dusty with goofy soulish prayers. Oh, meet my needs. Does anybody understand this? You want to get caught in that flood? Go ahead. I'm not. You better start using the keys that he paid the price for. and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, what you bind in the natural realm is bound in the spirit realm. Whatever you loose in the natural realm is loosed in the spirit realm. Do you understand that? Hello? And vice versa. Whatever you bind in the spirit realm is bound in the natural realm. And whatever you loose in the spirit realm is loosed in the natural realm. So why not bind the principalities? What do you mean bind it? Yes, take your authority and bind them. Put them in your position so those princes are no longer taking your children and your families in those areas that we're praying for. Quit being a wimp. It's time to grow up. Amen? And use the keys that Jesus gave us. People are not using them. They're so caught up in the soulish realm of me, myself, and I. You want to go in the flood? Go for it. But there's a huge flood coming. And if you can't do this now, you won't do it then. Remember the 10 virgins? There was 10 wise and 10 stupid. 5 wise and 5 stupid. And when they tried to get what they needed to get, it was too late. These principalities have been assigned by Satan to coordinate activities that prevent the will of God to manifest in human lives. That's what they've been assigned for. Does everybody understand that? In Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible you just write this down. Hebrews chapter 2 and 14 through 18. It talks about the angels are not aided by Jesus, but we are aided. Does everybody understand that? But the angels are aided by each other and us. Why? By binding the principalities. Don't you want to assist the angels of the Lord working on your behalf? Amen. Then you bind the principalities that are coming against the angels that are working on your behalf. The same thing to Daniel. Remember, the angel of the Lord came to Daniel, took him 21 days. Well, what if he was binding and loosening? He didn't have the keys of the kingdom yet. But if he was binding and loosening those principalities, that would have happened a lot faster, wouldn't it? See, people are just not using what they've been given. Somebody understand that? Praise God. Remember, Satan duplicates everything. There's two spirits we're going to discuss, and I'm not going to go there now. But one is going to be the spirit of immaturity, and the other one's a spirit of the Queen of Heaven we're going to talk about, but not right now. But I think we got enough impartation today of this. Now, I also have some territorial prayers that were made up. I'm sure the grammar isn't perfect yet, but I'll have them edited, okay? But these were done quickly, and I just want to read this to you. And it says, in the name of Jesus, I take my authority and bind every foul, unclean, seducing, hindering spirits of darkness, every strong man, principalities, and territorial spirits of the water, land, air, and sea of darkness. You may not understand this, but these spirits can put on reptile. And I'm not going to get into all of this, okay? But anyways, they know how to operate. Hello? And there are demonic territorial spirits of the water, land, air, and sea. And I'm not going to get into all this tonight, but because we don't have enough time. But we're going to start binding these things. There are spirits of witchcraft, sorcery, occult, divination, familiar, antichrist, false religious spirits, Jezebel, Ahab, Baal, Diana, Queen of Heaven, mind-binding, controlling spirits, spirits of bondage, rebellion, gossip, criticism, division, strife, addiction, spirits of immaturity, cobra, leviathan, deaf and dumb spirits, fear, anxiety, stress, worry, death, murder, killing, stealing, thievery, lying, deceiving, anger, hatred, jealousy, pride, arrogance, corruption, perverse, whoredoms, molestation, abusive, pedophile, pornography, prostitution, lesbian, homosexuality spirits, greed, covetous, love of money, false worship, adultery, idolatry, prince of the power of air of music. debt, deceptions, lack, poverty, depression, oppression, suicide, unforgiveness, laziness, compromise, coarse jesting, foul mouth, unbelief, doubting, spirits of incest, insanity, resentment, revenge, false judgment, exaggeration, delusion, blindness, apathy, apostasy, Judas spirit of betrayal, miscarriage, misconception, multi-personality spirits, inherited spirits, and any other spirit under the authority of Satan's kingdom. I bind, blind, mute, deaf these spirits in the name of Jesus, driving them out of all the territories of myself, my wife, husband, children, family members, those I'm praying for, church members and staff I belong to, our job places, neighborhoods, schools our children go to, the local, state, and city offices we live, our possessions, our homes, our health, our seeds, our harvest, our inheritance, our finance, our destiny, and our vision, our calling, and everywhere we set our feet today, I cast these spirits to the pit not to return and apply the blood of Jesus on all these territories in Jesus' name. Now, and then there's also, it says P.S. And that's in case you got stuff you want to start driving out spirits out of your territories of your dreams, your vacations, projects, events, service, ministries, whatever. You must start doing this. You must start driving these things out. You can't allow them to run your life and take your territory. Why? Because if they take that territory, you're going to fall underneath that prince. And you're going to be taken out. The first place it begins is what you come in agreement with right in the mind. That's how it begins. That's why you must kill every corruptible seed every night. Repent for every agreement you came in with the voice of the stranger, even whether you know it or not. And then you must break and loose yourself from those associated spirits, because they're attached to spirits. And they'll drive you out, cause you to transgress, and bring you back underneath that prince again. Do y'all understand that? Is everybody all right? Did you learn something? Yes. Praise God. Give all God all the glory. Now, here, somebody take these and pass these out as people leave tonight. Amen? Amen? And let's pray out. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. We ask, Father, tonight that you would give us the boldness. And again, we repent for not picking up our keys. And I pray great conviction over anyone in this room that's not using their keys. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, grant us repentance and reconciliation and begin to pick the keys up that you paid such a price for. Thank you. I apply the blood of Jesus on this seed that's been imparted in each and every one here tonight. Lord, that you'll give them the boldness to stand strong and discipline to fulfill your will as they begin to take territories to fulfill not only your will, but to rescue your children and our brothers and sisters that don't know our brothers and sisters yet, and expand your kingdom. And to Jesus be all the glory in Jesus' name.